Hey there, SLP. You are listening to this podcast, so I know that you love to listen to podcasts. And if that is the case, then I know that you are going to love my secret private podcast, Secondary Secrets for SLPs. Its 6 short episodes will have you walking away feeling refreshed and inspired and ready to take on those challenging secondary speech students. So if you work with grades 4 through 12, and are in a planning rut or wanting some fresh new ideas to keep your students motivated, make sure you head to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets. You are not going to find this podcast in your iTunes podcast search browser. You can only get access by going to that link. So head to it now. It is 6 short episodes that you can listen to it in under an hour, like totally Netflix binge-worthy. I made this just for you, and I know you are going to love it. SLPs have been telling me already that it has changed their way for working with their older speech students. So head on over, again, to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets or use the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Now let's head on to this week's episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Hey there, SLP. You are listening to this podcast, so I know that you love to listen to podcasts. And if that is the case, then I know that you are going to love my secret private podcast, Secondary Secrets for SLPs. Its 6 short episodes will have you walking away feeling refreshed and inspired and ready to take on those challenging secondary speech students. So if you work with grades 4 through 12 and are in a planning rut or wanting some fresh new ideas to keep your students motivated, make sure you head to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets. You are not going to find this podcast in your iTunes podcast search browser. You can only get access by going to that link. So head to it now. It is 6 short episodes that you can listen to it in under an hour, like totally Netflix binge-worthy. I made this just for you, and I know you are going to love it. SLPs have been telling me already that it has changed their way for working with their older speech students. So head on over, again, to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets or use the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Now let's head on to this week's episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Welcome to SLP Coffee Talk, the podcast designed exclusively for speech-language pathologists who work with older students, grades 4 through 12. I am your host, Hallie Sherman, your SLP behind Speech Time Fun, the Speech Retreat Conference, and the SLP Elevate membership. And I'm thrilled to bring you conversations, strategies, and insights that will give you the jolt of inspiration that you need. Whether you're tuning in during your morning commute, on a break in between sessions, or even during a well-deserved relaxation time, I am here for you each and every week. Let's do this, SLPs. Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. I'm so excited. I have someone I went to graduate school with a million moons ago here with us today. And when I found out that he was presenting at ASHRAE in Boston all about literacy for a middle school student, I was like, I need to get you on the podcast. We need to talk. We need to do this. So I am so excited. And he brought a colleague of his on the show as well. So Matt and Margarita, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here.
Yes. Tell everyone a little bit about your SLP journey and what you guys are up to.
Sure. So I'm a District 75 supervisor of speech language improvement in Brooklyn for the past 10 years, been in the DOE since 2007. Obviously went to graduate school with Haley. So I'm glad our paths, came back together with each other. So I help speech therapists like Margarita, all across Brooklyn, about 114 people, work with students ages 3 to 21 years old, with a wide variety of classifications, such as autism, emotionally challenged, disabled. We have some inclusion students, of course, too. And we just do the best that we can, focusing on speech, language, and communication skills.
And I obviously work for D75. It's special education within New York City. And I'm actually a split position. So I work 3 days in the early, in the elementary school. And then the two other days I work in the middle school and high school. So that's an inclusion program for our kids with various diagnoses that are a little bit on a higher end and able to do a lot of things. So I work 2 days a week there. And I've been doing this, I'm in the Department of Education for 11 years, and in middle school and high school, I think this is my sixth year.
What was the biggest change going from the elementary to the middle school?
I was petrified actually going into that setting initially, because all my knowledge was, you know, working with elementary students. And I was very fearful on not knowing exactly what I need to be working on and how the attitudes are going to be. Am I going to be worrying SLP for them? So that was kind of the fears, the initial fears. But going through it and meeting those kids and working with them, I just found a new passion within it. And I absolutely love it now. And I established amazing relationships with them, with their parents. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I'm very surprised that I'm saying this right now, because I remember feeling how I didn't want to be there initially, but I absolutely love it. And I now would not trade it for the world. So.
And I felt the same exact way. So not to worry. I was like, these kids are taller than me. They are, they don't want to be here. I don't know what I'm doing with them. How can I make what I'm doing relevant in my speech closet? And it's a whole new beast. So, Ned, I'd love to hear your take on working with the older bunch.
Sure. So working with our middle school students, especially as a provider who did work for elementary way back when, before I became a supervisor, I've just noticed that, especially as the years have gone on, that, you know, we have to kind of do a fun mix of working on the curriculum, but also working on like real life stuff, you know, for a lot of our kids. And I have a daughter who's in third grade, going to soon be going to middle school. As much as working on the curriculum, like, she loves to play Minecraft and she loves LOL dolls and all this stuff like that. So I've seen the shift in activities of, obviously, especially, you know, in a special ed period, you want to work on, obviously, you know, the curriculum, but also you want to work on what makes sense for those students. What's going to motivate them for those 30 minutes and keep them there versus, you know, being just another person who's trying to, you know, stuff some literacy down, like, you know, their brains and whatnot. Like, you want to motivate them to be there for that half an hour. And I noticed that with middle school, especially high school, especially in District 75, where we go to 21, how are you going to motivate that, maybe that one student in an 8-to-1-to-1 or a 12-to-1-to-1 classroom to leave his or her classroom and join you for a half an hour without making it seem as if you're punishing them for having to remove them from their classroom, or not to get made fun of for coming to leave your classroom and come into the therapy room? So you kind of have to, it's, you know, you wear a lot of hats to make sure that you are that entertaining, motivating person to get them to come to therapy with you for 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
Did you have any tricks up your sleeve to that you like to tell your staff to utilize to get them, to convince them to come with you?
Well, this was also pre-iPad. So iPad now, you know, would be obviously the biggest thing, or, you know, working on anything digitally like yourself, Miss Instagram influencer, with all your fun activities. But really, it was just kind of like, you know, getting to know them. It's all about like that student interview of like, what are your likes? What do you like to talk about? What do you like to do when you're home? And then shifting whatever those goals are, because again, we work in the language communication speech field. So we can flip anything really into a 30-minute lesson, right? And use whatever is motivating to them. So talking about music of the day back then, talk about sports with them, you know, with the girls, like, you know, for me, just being the guy, I'm just going to say it, like, I would lean on my coworkers and say, hey, like, this one loves to, like, you know, X, Y, and Z. Can you guys give me some tips on how to motivate this 14-year-old girl to come with me for speech? Right. So it's just kind of all about just looking at like who the student is in front of you, which is what we're supposed to do anyway, right? When we write our IEPs, And when we're working with our students, but it's a little bit of a combination between curriculum and just who you are as an individual and how can I get you to sit here for half an hour and work with me.
Margarita, do you have any tips that you love to use when they found that it works for you?
Yes. So what I absolutely love to do is refill out a yearly resolution in the month of December, where I specifically ask on those, first of all, it's going to be a lot of literacy questions, like in reading, where would you like to improve? In writing, where would you like to improve? Where do you see yourself? And also like other things, of course. Where would you like to travel? Where would you like to visit? And we go through that activity in detail because I really want to know where that student feels that he's at and where that student would like to achieve. And that's what I use part of the IEP, of course, but that to me is more important than the IEP goals that we might have done like half a year ago, right? Because I want to know like, what is the motivating thing to like, so I'm going to give you an example. One student said that he would like to ask a girl out on a date. This is a high school student, and he had a really hard time expressing his emotions and expressing his feelings towards this girl. So his resolution was to basically practice on asking this girl out. To me, that was so powerful. So it was just like overwhelming because I wanted to help him exactly with that because that is relevant to the student. And this is something that he feels that he's struggling with. So just things like that where it just makes our job more powerful and we don't just go by the goals and ABC and I need to target this, but we actually just look, like Matt said, look at the child and look at what is important to that child today. What is the child is struggling today and how can I help that child? Because maybe I had a different goal in mind, but you know what? Not today. Today we are going to be learning on how can I tell this girl that I have feelings for her. And to me, that was just so amazing that the child was able to share that with me, number one, right? So I know that I have a good relationship that you're able to share that. And also trust in that I can actually help that child with that task. So I absolutely love that activity. It doesn't have to be a New Year's resolution. It could be just like, hey, tell me, let's go through these little questions. You prepare the questions ahead of time because sometimes it's hard to just when you ask them bluntly, like, what are you struggling with? Ask a question. Where do you see yourself? You know, where would you like to improve in reading? Where would you like to improve in writing? Where do you like to improve in your speaking skills or making friends and so forth? So that's I think it's a good motivator. I also use a lot of snacks. Middle school and high school population, they love those chips and little things. So I will have some reinforcers and I know who likes what. So that sometimes works as well. But also just trying to create a very positive environment for them where they can feel super supported. So another example would be they know that if they have an assignment that is due that they didn't have enough time to finish, I always let them know that we can always target that in speech. So because they are a part of the inclusion program, they have other classes and it's overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes they're not catching up on their reading assignments because they read in Hamlet. Are they reading like Shakespeare? Sometimes they can't catch up on essays because the essays are too long. You know, the classroom is asking them to do like 6 paragraphs and they're just not able to complete that. So I always tell them, this is the time, this is your half an hour where I can help you with those things, even though it was not related to what I was originally wanted to do with them. And that's okay. So things like that will create a better space and they feel so supported and they want to come because they know that I can help them with homework. I can help them with assignments or I could help them with the little things that they are struggling with, such as relationships. So those are my little tricks that I use up my sleeve.
They do love the Takis. And I had a student last year also that confided in me and he found out that I knew the girl that he wanted to ask out and was like trying to convince me to play matchmaker. And I'm like, okay, you can do like a claim here. Give me your evidence and your reasonings here. Let's tie in some literacy based activities. But I was like, if they feel comfortable, they're going to be willing to take risks and they're going to be willing to work with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And they go through all that stuff and they sharing with, you know, their struggles. So absolutely, I love that part of the middle school and high school populations, because you get to see that little child transform into young adult. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
And I love that you do that in December, because it does probably help a lot with that transitional part of the IEP. And often we do that stuff in September, or those listening that have August that they go back to school, but we need constantly having those conversations with them.
Yeah,
for sure. Using that information.
Yeah. And I also include myself. Like, I fill it out myself as well. I want to show them that all of us have things that we are struggling with and we want to improve something about ourselves. So I will use myself as an example as well. I will say, you know, I would like to read 3 more books. These are the books on my list. I would like to exercise more, because that's a part of where I want to go. And things like that. So I'm always using myself as an example to show them that we are all not perfect. We all have things that we are working on. And it's okay to also acknowledge that there are things that we need to improve about ourselves. So I agree with that. I think it is a great activity and it works.
I love it. All right. I'm going to transition into our favorite literacy-based activities and how to get them, strategies that you find are the most successful to get those wins for our students. What are your favorite literacy-based activities for your older students?
Currently, right now, I would say comic books are kind of like the biggest thing right now I'm seeing out in the field with our middle school SLPs and high school SLPs. Anything that can kind of be adapted to like real life right now outside of the school walls. I know, you know, a lot of the schools have like, you know, their specific curriculums, which we are supporting. But then, you know, if you have a student who is like a twice a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week mandate, that's when we can kind of like get into like those like student interests and whatnot and see exactly what might be entertaining for them, again, to be there for the half an hour and to really get like that narrative language happening.
Yeah. And what I would add to that is that, it's kind of like what Matt said in the beginning, really knowing what your child likes. I have a student who would like to be an engineer. I have a student who is really passionate about comic books. I have a student who loves everything technology-based. So I love pulling out new articles that are coming up. There's so much cool information out there. Like, I'm just so glad that we are part of this technological world where we can get everything so quickly on iPads, on computers, and so forth. We just read about a heart transplant taken out of a pig, and it was a transplant made into a human. We read about a possibility of teachers being robots in the future, and just discussing and debating, do you think it's a good idea? And why do you think that would be a good idea? Or what would be like the negative parts of that? And just like discussing that, and a little article can take you so far. That we could do the literacy, we could do the vocabulary rebuilding, now we could do the debate. Now the 2 students can debate amongst themselves, you know, who got a stronger point. And then we can write about it. How would you imagine a teacher would look, a computerized teacher would look like, and so forth. So then one activity kind of expands into like 3, 4, 5 sessions, and we target different things. So that's what I love, is using the interest, but also like finding the new stuff, because I want them to be current. Like, there's a lot of like VR stuff, right? Can we go to school by just wearing a VR glasses, you know, and stuff like that. So I try to keep it more fun for them. So then, and it's also exciting for me to read about. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. So I'm learning, they're learning. I feel like it's a win-win for everyone. Yeah.
And also remember, too, it's not always just like books, right? So like taking walking trips and vocational trips, that's all literacy based right there in terms of like labels, road signs, things like that. So like we can kind of like go outside of the box of just getting those focus on literacy skills.
Can you expand more on that? On some of these? I want to hear more about like some of these vocational activities that you guys do.
No, I actually would like to share something that we do that started as like a pilot program, and now we have implemented it on a yearly basis. So what I do is, because I'm in 2 locations, I've decided, well, how can I incorporate both of the kids that I serve and make it more functional? So what we created is a reading body program. So where I have my middle school and high school students who are inclusion programs come to the elementary students and read to them. So, and it's like a whole process that we do. So the first step is that we're visiting library and we pick in specific books for our elementary students. And we talk about, you know, the levels that those kids are and what's the appropriate books to choose, you know, more pictures, less words and so forth. Then once we pick those books in our sessions, we read in those books and we practice. And because, you know, some kids in middle school still struggling to read. So we still need to practice some of those skills and get them a little stronger. And then the third part is them coming as a trip to the elementary school and reading as a teacher in front of the class, reading to those children. It is the most amazing thing to observe and watch when you see a student who is himself struggling reading present a book and read in front and go to a little child and let the child point to a picture. And we obviously practice those skills beforehand, like facing the book outward, you know, letting them stopping, letting them point to something, letting them find something in a book and engaging with a child, elementary student. It is absolutely breathtaking. And then at the end, what I do is I do reflections. How did you feel? A lot of things that the students, middle school and high school students shared is that they felt that it made them feel like a teacher. It made them feel powerful. It made them feel like they were there to teach, that they knew more than, you know, these kids, they had power. And I was like, there's nothing else that I really need, because when you have that confidence, like, look, I did it. Like I read. And yes, I struggled a little bit, but I did it and all the kids clapped and I had some smiles. It's honestly beyond amazing. So once we did the first one and it was so successful, now we're doing this program twice a year. We do one in the spring. One in the spring and one before Christmas. So we're actually getting ready right now to do another one. We're going to do one in May. And the kids now are asking, when are we going to do the reading buddy program? When are we going to the elementary school? Like, when are we going to the library? Like, I'm ready to, you know, to pick up books. So it's obviously very encouraging and positive experience for them. And they feel like adults. They feel like, wow, like I'm doing something very powerful. So that's the program that I wanted to share with you, which is very vocational because it allows the person to feel like a teacher and allows that, you know, public speaking skills. It's allows him to, or her to feel responsibility, like I'm responsible for these kids. I'm responsible to, you know, carry over the message of this book. So it's been absolutely amazing. And now it's a part of the program in our school. So yeah.
Love it. That's amazing. So amazing.
And to go with that, I'll piggyback on it. That was one of the reasons why Margarita and myself had attended Asher, where Haley and I had connected or reconnected from Adelphi, because that was one of the programs that we wanted to highlight for everyone that was attending our session to learn more about like programs such as that, programs that we are focusing on with elementary, middle, and high school students across District 75. So, and again, going back to the vocational sites, I don't know if you still want to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. But, share some other activities that you guys.
Yeah, we have middle school and high schoolers going to physical locations like Goodwill, going to ShopRite, going to nursing homes, and doing real life skills, like, you know, in terms of cleanup, cooking, you know, getting a grocery order together, restocking shelves. But again, remember that all of that has some sort of literacy, you know, concept to it, you know? So outside of, you know, the great work that Margarita's doing with the Reading Buddies program, which again, is an outside of the way of a box of idea of focusing on those student skills, we're also teaching real life skills. So it's kind of like double dipping, because again, as we all know, all three of us being, you know, SLPs, that, you know, language is everywhere. So there's always a way to kind of tackle, you know, literacy, regardless of it being inside a classroom, in a therapy room, or out in the community.
I love it. And there's always ways to incorporate your speech goals while doing all of these things. And that's what it makes it relevant. And that's how that we get them motivated and willing to leave the classroom to work with us, because we're doing things to prepare them for that experience where they feel so empowered and so excited and successful. So.
Exactly. And them asking for it now, that validates that you are doing the right thing. Because if they are motivated to do this, then I have all the power to practice, you know, working on those skills and so forth. So that's exactly where it is, when you truly check in yourself, you're making a progress monitoring yourself, like, am I doing a good job the way that I know I'm doing a good job? They're asking for it again and again. So yes, I think this program is amazing and I would highly recommend it. Anyone in this, and you know, again, you don't have to be a person in a split position. You just need to know someone in another school and just get a connection and just start having these discussions with your administration. And I don't see why this would not be possible in any other districts and in any other schools. Definitely a great program.
And especially now with technology, if you can't get busing and moving to another building, hop on Zoom, hop on Google Meet, get a FaceTime going, and let's just read to other students. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, we used to have a couple of years ago, I think right before COVID, Margarita, if you remember, we used to have like virtual pen pals. So like some, like, you know, students from one end of the Brooklyn to the other would just kind of like do this and engage in conversation and do like read alouds or just kind of have like back and forth conversations. You know, so again, the world that we're in right now, I think it's a perfect way to kind of connect with anybody, you know, with all of our students.
I love it. Any last bit of advice or tips that you'd love to share with everyone listening that might be wondering how to motivate their students, get some activities, literacy-based vocation, anything under the sun?
The only thing I could just add at the end is that working with these students really taught me to really just meet them where they are. You know, it's just amazing to me how different the skills are of a child with the same diagnosis. It's just, it truly is amazing. And just accepting the child where they are today and just moving one step further, not jumping 100 steps. Because even in early, you know, in middle school and high school, the expectations are very high. And some of our kids cannot meet those expectations. And I always tell them, and that's okay. And let's just work on one more extra thing, just one extra step. You don't have to do a jump today because sometimes they're not ready to make that jump. So just meeting where they are and accepting them and loving them exactly where they are with their literacy, writing, reading, pragmatic skills, exactly where they are. I think that's the biggest lesson that I've learned working with these kids.
And again, I would say for all of our students, just specifically them who have IEPs, obviously, it's an individualized education plan, right? So kind of piggybacking what Margarita's saying, you have to make it individualized. Like one activity is definitely not going to work for another kid. You know, you might have some similarities where you might be able to do the same thing with a handful of kids, but we got to try to adapt the materials. And that just applies to every type of student, regardless of classification or what school they attend. As Margarita said, you want to make it about them, make it about their interest. Because again, for that half an hour, once, twice, three times a week, you have to give them a reason of, now I'm here, I'm in a new setting. What am I doing with Matt? What am I doing with Margarita for a half an hour that is going to pique my interest to participate? Because again, being SLPs, we have data that we're looking to collect and try to see what, based on what they did today, what do we want to do with them next time? So we want to make sure that we continue to get as many opportunities as possible just to kind of know who they are. And make sure that we can get them coming back to us kind of every single session.
So true. So true. Meeting them where they're at and making a difference each and every day. And thank you guys so much. This is amazing. I could talk working with older students and all this fun stuff all day long, all day, every day. So thank you so much. I'm so glad that we reconnected. It's been way 15, 16, 17, 18. The math is not.
I don't want to say the numbers.
Way too many years. I'm so glad we reconnected. I always end my episodes with a joke because jokes build humor. There's a lot of language involved and builds rapport. And since springtime, what month always asks questions and permission?
Oh, yeah. So I.
May. May. This one. May I do that? Your multiple meaning word right there, guys. But I'm cheating.
Done.
There's your joke. You can tell everyone. It can be your,
nice
dinner time conversation. Or you can.
I'm going to use that at May at the U of T meeting for Better Speech and Hearing Month. I'm going to steal
there
your
you
joke
go.
At the U of T.
You can steal it. I give you permission. I didn't write it. I found it on the internet, so it's really okay.
There you go.
All right, everyone listening, thank you so much. We have in the show notes information if you want to follow up on what Matt and Margarita are doing at the DUA District 75 and all the things. Go check them out. And until next week, everyone, stay out of trouble. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. It means the world to me that you're tuning in each and every week and getting the jolt of inspiration you need. You can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at my website, speechtimefun.com. Don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And while you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. See you next week with another episode full of fun and inspiration from one SLP to another. Have fun, guys.